Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Sacred Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Whoop, whoop. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. What a monumental parenting weekend I had. I shared a special Patreon on Sunday about it, and I have never gotten such overwhelming response from you guys about what I was going through in dropping my son off at college and the story behind it. And I just want to thank all of you that listen to Patreon or part of Patreon and wrote me, because I really, really needed that this weekend. You can find Patreon at heathermcdonald.net. Anyway, now for the second part of a very juicy interview. You guys loved hearing from Shane Lamas on Thursday about her incredible Hollywood childhood. And now we are getting to the part where she meets her husband, now soon to be ex-husband. You heard from Nick Ritchie a couple weeks ago. You were super intrigued by that interview, and you wanted to hear from Shane. She is just as candid and funny as she was in the first part. It's super juicy. She answers a lot of your questions. So here we go with part two of Shane Lamas. Okay, we are still here with Shane Lamas. Just finished her juicy story about being on The Bachelor back in 2007. No NDA, telling your story. Kind of love it. Got rid of the London dude. And so now it's about 2008. And now you have this resurgence of fame from being on The Bachelor. Now between there and when do you end up that infamous Las Vegas night in which you actually did get married to Nick Ritchie?
So
I remember it. Yeah.
And so we did this Lamas family show, and he put us in the house. Okay. My brother and I in Dakota, and my mom would just come in. I mean, it was a shit show. Okay.
And is this when Lorenzo is now single, or is he now with Shauna number two?
Nope, he is single at this point. So he had just ended that whole Barbara thing, you know?
The wedding,
and
yeah.
So he, you know, and so E and him went back and forth on payment, because he was like, if I'm going to do the show, and he's like, we only want you for like two episodes, you know, this is Shane's show. And so we have a different relationship now, but back then it was like, no, if I'm going to do the show, it's going to be all of the episodes. And so there was a lot of that where I signed up for one thing and it ends up being another.
Yes.
Anyways, with that being said, I didn't have very much producer control, even though I sat in and produced the show. And all it really did was give my brothers and my sisters and my mom and money to spend to just do nothing with. And, my name, I had to literally hunt my brother down.
AJ.
Yes, because he was also an actor, and doing reality television is, I mean. So I had to hunt him down to have him just film a scene.
Go to dinner or
you know,
whatever.
And he would, because, hey, it's 10 grand. But, like, finding him was, like, a nightmare. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in the trenches of the valley trying to find. And my mom is just like, you know, batshit crazy, going through menopause, coming in doing crazy things. I'm like, Mom, you don't have to like overdo it, you know, like just be you.
Right.
And so it became that, to then AJ moving into the house, and he's like, so it was all very produced and it wasn't natural. And I ended up being like this blum bimbo and just a typical. And I'm like, look, we're going up against Kardashians who already own E, basically.
Right.
And they, you know, there's already an audience for them. And so at the end of the day, it was more of a headache for me to do that show than anything. And
right.
So we premiered like after the new Playboy girls. There was like
yes,
a
the
new
girl
right?
next door, yeah.
So they were new, we were new, and it just kind of like we all just, it just didn't work.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what the ratings were or whatnot. I never really followed that. But at the end of the day, I had the same agent as Kim Kardashian did at the time. And he said, look, if you want to make it after this season and, you know, a next season, this is what you need to do. You need to wake up every morning at 6 a.m. and have a full head of hair and makeup done. You need to go down to Rodeo, and every day you need to have your pictures taken. So fresh content is constantly hitting the wire, and this is how you will
be. And these are the tabloid magazine days.
Right.
Yes.
And this is how you will become a Kim Kardashian, you know, and I look at, God, that sounds terrible. No, absolutely not. I am not. And so it's like, basically, this is how you become famous these days.
Yeah.
So you either hop on the bandwagon or, you know, and I'm just like, I was just done.
Okay? Yeah.
Taxed from my family, taxed from everybody just spending this money like crazy. Nobody did anything with the platform we were given. Like, I'm like, Dakota, you can, you know, promote your music and like use this platform and so do something, even if we have a second season or not. Like, make it.
Right.
You know, and the whole show was just about me rallying all these fucking people together. So it's like, it was just a mess. You know what I mean? And so, and I was like, I want nothing to do with it. So I decided to completely pull out. And so they pulled the show because clearly I just didn't want anything to do with it. And at that time, I was just like, fuck Hollywood. I need a break. Like, I have been, you know, I was depressed. I was just like, I mean, I knew I was depressed when I told, like, you can ask yourself, okay, if I was given $500 and told you can go into Nordstrom's, buy anything you want, would you go? And when I say no in my mind, I know I'm depressed.
Because you wouldn't want to leave your house to go buy whatever.
Nothing sounded great to me, right? So I was just like, wow, this is really, this whole Hollywood scene right now is just taking a toll on me. I just want to be an actress. Like, that's just what I want to do. So I kind of took a break from it because you kind of have to after you're on a show like that. And I just, you know, I lived on my own with my sister in Wilshire on Wilshire Boulevard, and we kind of had our own apartment. And one day, Shauna one calls me and goes,
Shauna one, who's the mom of the three kids.
Yes. Calls me and goes, Shane, I am driving with the three girls to Alexandra's competition in Las Vegas. Would you like to come with us? And I was like, yeah, sure, absolutely, you know. So I pack up, like, a Vera Bradley bag, like, the one that doesn't even have a zipper. Like, just, you know. I throw a fedora on. I get in Shauna's Mercedes-Benz with my three other sisters, and we head out to Vegas.
Like a cheerleading competition or something?
Yes. Okay. For whose was it? I think it was Alex's. Okay.
Yeah.
So now, I don't know if you've ever seen Shauna, but she's nobody that I want to say that's my mom. Okay. So the girls at that point were already extremely embarrassed of how she would dress,
very
show
skimpy
up,
and
behave.
Yeah.
And it's like, now that I'm a mother, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what to do that to your children. And I mean, in the first place, it's just like, oh, she just looks like a stripper.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
She wears the stripper heels. I think they're even called stripper heels.
Those plastic
clear ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, she's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's how she is 24/7. And so here we are. We go to Vegas. And she – oh, my dad's calling me. His ears are burning, obviously. So he literally, we get to Vegas and, you know, she's got a hookup because Paul, you know, the Maloofs or what have you at the Palms, you know, got her a place and she gets like.
She knows the Maloofs.
So she basically lives off of all.
The connections.
Like, yes. That's her.
Okay.
She pulls up, get a car wash, wash the car. You know what I mean? The whole, she's the one that you invite to go to your hotel for lunch and she goes down to the spa after and charges all this shit. And then the stories I've heard are absolutely. So that is, I mean, my dad, poor guy.
So you're at the Palm.
So we're at the Palms. And I know it's not the Palms because for some reason, I don't know.
I want to say it was, according to Nick,
it was like Caesar's,
Venetian or something.
It was
Venetian?
The Plaza.
Oh, Plaza. Okay. Oh, Tao. It was Tao because Tao Nightclub is in there.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're at the, okay. So we're there. And we go to my sister's cheerleading competition. And we, Shauna and I had already started bickering.
Yeah.
Like it had already gotten to the point of like, you need to tone it. Like I was just being a big sister, being protective. And my little sister looks at me and goes, please just don't allow my mom to come in with a drink because she'll be kicked out and it'll be a whole scene.
Okay.
So we're walking in and here Shauna has a drink. And I'm like, Shauna, you cannot bring an alcoholic beverage
into the
children's cheerleading competition. Convention center. I'm like, I know we're in Vegas, but there's a line and you're crossing it now. And she started to get crazy with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to remove myself because now we're making a scene. Because, and it's like, she doesn't go on for another 2-3 hours. So we would just be sitting there. So I'm like, okay, you know, and I turn around and I go to the bar at the hotel and I'm sitting there in literally like a Yankees cap, jeans, you know, and I order Jack and Diet, and it's one where you can play, like, blackjack on the thing. All of a sudden, like, this raspy, like, man is, like, right here. Hello. You know, like, I can't even describe it. And I'm, like, in my head thinking, like, God, this guy has partied for 5 years straight, okay, has smoked 200 packs of Marlboro Lights, and is standing right over my shoulder with black fingernails, painted black fingernails. And I look over and I'm just, and he's, this person is in a robe,
okay,
a white robe. And I'm like, you know, hello, but I've seen it all. So I'm like, hello. He sits down, he goes, what's your name? And I'm just like, and I turn to ignore him and I spill my drink. So I'm like, God, you know, he's like, now you got to buy me a drink. And he was being all like that. And I just wanted nothing to do with this weirdo. Okay.
Yes.
And I was in no right. I don't need friends. I said, I'm good. I don't need friends. Why are you here? I'm like, my little sister has a cheerleading competition. Well, do you know who I am? And I'm like, is that how you pick up girls? Like, you just straight up say, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't know who you are. You're a stranger who is bothering me.
Yeah.
And you're in a robe. Like, and he's like, well, I just hosted over at the pool, the club. And I've done jobs, like nightclub jobs.
Yeah.
And I know. And so I'm thinking in my mind, like, and I say, what are you, like a DJ or something? Because,
yeah,
like, I don't know who he is. And he laughs, and it's, and I'm like, okay, and I'm like, nice fingernails. And he goes, I'm Nick Ritchie. I go, hi, nice to meet you. And he keeps going, and he's like, wait, you don't know who I am? I'm like, no idea. I'm a blogger. Great. I don't know any bloggers. All I know is Perez Hilton and TMZ. That's my world. You know, and he's like, oh, I'm like, you know, who are you? What are you doing? And I'm just like, you know, I really just he's bothering me at this point. And he's like, I just hosted a town. And he's telling me this crazy story, but he's intrigued that I guess I don't know who he is. And he's obsessed with that.
Yeah.
And so make a long story short, I'm like, you know, get the bill. I got to get back to my sister because she's about to go on. He goes, I'll walk with you. I'm like, no, I'm okay. Oh, I'll walk with you. So he walks with me all the way down to the convention center. Like, and it's a long haul. You know what I mean? Like, when you're in Vegas, those conventions.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not just talking like a few, you know, 5 minutes away. This is like I had to get on the freaking pram and tram and, you know, and he's just right there in my ear trying to get my phone number. And so I walk up, and my sister had won, by the way. She had already gone on. So I remember my other sister, Victoria, she goes, who's he? And I'm like, I don't know. And Shauna's like, hi. I'm, you know. And I'm like, and Nick's like, so I'm trying to, and I'm like, fine, do you want my number? Like, just, okay, here it is. And so I gave him my number.
Yeah.
And he, like, called me on it.
Right.
Almost to make sure that I gave him the right number.
Right.
And cut to back to the hotel room. Shauna and I, we have a massive blow up. Okay. Huge fight. And this guy is now harassing me via text. Come out with me tonight. I'm like, I don't have clothes. I'm here for my little sister's cheerleading competition. I'm actually like in a room with three children. We're just playing dress up. Like, you know what I mean? And Shauna, we had a massive blow up again. She's like coming in saying that I stole her shampoo or something. Like, every minute, it was something crazy, and I just had enough. Finally, I took this guy's offer because I was so just done with dealing with this crazy person that I was just like, I need to get out of here. And I look at my little sisters, and they're like, you're going to go? And I'm like, yeah. And so I literally threw jeans on and, like, pulled myself together somehow and said, all right, I'll meet you. I'll come to dinner, whatever. So I walk down, and here he is now dressed normally. And we go into a restaurant, and we sit at the owner of the restaurant's table. And I'm like, okay, at this point, like, obviously he knows, you know, people, and he has, like, I don't know who he is or what he does or what this dirty.com is.
Yeah.
But obviously it's pretty popular, probably in, like, colleges or what have you. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't ask questions like I should have.
Yeah.
And so, and I just figured, like, okay, so blogs were coming up, maybe.
Right.
Right? Like, oh, I don't know the field. Doesn't mean he's nobody, you know? Right. And it didn't matter. I was just, at that point, would rather be there with him than Shauna.
Right.
And so we just get to talking, and I want to let you know, in no means do I think that this is normal or suggest to anyone that they should do this. I actually feel like it probably was some other entity that entered into my body.
Okay.
And decided to then marry this person.
Okay, so hold up. We know that you did marry him that night. So now we get it. Okay, so now you're having a dinner, and you obviously are enjoying his company.
Right. Like, okay? He's funny he's and charming. Normal.
Now the raspy voice is kind of like direct and sexy.
Right. By now, right. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes. And I, you know, no, I don't smoke, never smoked in my life. Like, so, you know, all these things are kind of like, I'm starting to kind of let my guard down a little bit. And I am from L.A., where at that time, just everybody was just a douche. It's just like, that's just, if you were an actor, you were just a douche. If you owned a nightclub, you were just a douche. Like, it just, like, Ledoux, like, it was just such a scene I just was not a fan of.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, this guy is normal and cool and talking to me. And so he's like, I'm hosting at a nightclub. Would you want to come? And I was like, okay, sure. So we go into this nightclub, and we're talking, and, like, the chaos is going around, but he's just mesmerized by just talking with me. And, you know, we're chatting, and, like, we make out or something. And then he's like, can I introduce you to my friends? And I said, yeah, sure. He goes, they're at my table. It's like, oh, wait, so this isn't your table? He goes, no, this is the owner's table. My table's over there. And I turn around, and there was, like, I want to say 25 stunning, like, thin, beautiful women, like, literally standing on the wall up against, like, where you can sit on the booth, you know?
Right, right.
Just staring. And I'm just like, that's your table. And he's like, yeah, I'm hosting with, like, Arizona's 25 most gorgeous women. And I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, what is going on here? And I'm like, so you're – and at that time, it's like you take these little things like, wow, this guy is here with the most beautiful women of ASU. And he's talking to me. And I'm, like, in jeans and a fedora. Like – he must be intrigued by me and who I am and like me to, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not that, like, okay. So I go over, I meet him, and then we kind of just like, I'm not sure who said it, but I'm pretty sure he must have said, like, we should get married or something. And I'm like, yeah, haha. I'm like, really? I would totally do it. And he's like, no, you wouldn't. And we were almost amazed that, like, we're perfect for each other if we both would be that crazy to just marry each other right now. I'm like, let's do it. Why not? And I did not put into consideration anything, let alone my family, media, who's he, what does he do, does he know who I am? I wasn't even thinking this would even hit the wire, like, because I'm not doing any projects. Why would anybody be talking about me? You know what I mean? And so Shauna wants to leave, me to leave with them. And I say, no, I'm going to stay.
With my husband. With,
we hadn't married at the time. I'm like, I'm going to stay with this guy. You know, I'll fly home.
I'm staying with Robe Man. Like, Raspy voice Robe Man.
You go ahead and go. Yeah, Victoria's like, that guy with the painted fingernails, you're staying with him? I'm like, you guys have a safe drive. Thank you for bringing my stuff. And so I remember, like, the night before we had tried to, like, get married, you know, we were just, like, joking. But somebody had said, you can't just go in and get married. You have to get a license first. And so, and it was, like, 4 a.m., okay, and drinking. Like, obviously, lots of alcohol is going on. And so the next day after I wave Shauna and the kids goodbye, I call him up. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he was hosting another thing. But I was staying in his room, you know. Yeah. So, like, and I'm like, you want to get married? And it was like that. He's like, yeah, absolutely. My guy's already on it. And he had an agent slash this man called named Ari who rolled around with him whenever he went to these cities. Pretty much pedophile. Like, would hit up the girls before they arrived in the city. Had the girls on
but
file.
These girls were over 18. Let's just make that clear.
Yes. Like college age. Yes, because he would fly to these different colleges to you know. And so, and I'm like, okay. He's like, we all have to be ready by 5. And that's when all of this started to kind of come into play. I had white slacks and a white V-neck shirt. And it looked classy. I put that on and I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even think about what my tomorrow was going to be. I was like, I'm just going to get married to this person. And on the way to the courthouse, I remember saying, let's ask 5 questions just to make sure. I'm like, tell, you know, I want to know, do you want kids? Do you have any children? Do you want children? Like things like that. And I remember him saying, I just got divorced. And I'm like, okay, my name is not Nick Ritchie, it's Human Kramian. Okay, yes, I do want kids. No, I don't have any. So, it, you know, and then he asked me same things. And so basically we go to the little white wedding chapel, okay, and he had picked out the Michael Jordan package.
Yes.
For us, and I walk in, I said, absolutely not.
What is the Michael Jordan?
I have no idea because we didn't end up doing it because I nixed that. I'm like, you want me like dribbling, walking down the aisle? Like, I'm like, if we're gonna, this is not a joke. I'm not a freaking joke. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so when we got there, he had all his friends in town with him. I had zero. They were all wearing those shirts with like the fake tuxedo.
Yes, t-shirts.
And I'm like, turn all those shirts inside out. You're not doing that. And so, like, they all had this idea of making it what I now realize was a joke.
Like a mockery, yeah.
Mockery. When I was, like, I thought that this was, like, kind of like a fairy tale, like, we're
passionate love story.
And so I get this, you know, the lady behind the, would you like a veil? And I'm like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, I'll take the veil. And then they're like, so since Michael Jordan's not marrying you, I'm like, can we just get a normal priest? I would prefer a woman, like, very soft tone, you know? And I'm trying to make this as less cheese ball as I can.
Yeah.
And so we end up getting married. And the next morning, we wake up, and on the news, like, the bottom banner says, Shane Lamas marries Nick Ritchie, the dirty, the owner of thedirty.com. And I go, who are you? what do you mean? Like, who? Because I didn't know he was, like, you know.
So big in the press.
And he's like, wait, your name is first? And I'm like, oh, my God, what? He's like, your name is billed first. I'm like, yeah, like, you know. And he says he doesn't know who I am, but I say that's bullshit. Uh-huh. Because his friends were gassing him the whole time. Like, are you going to meet her dad? You know what I mean? Like, he can't act like he didn't know who I was. But I honestly, the night we married, I was like, so this dirty, like, all I need to know, it's not like a porn site, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, no. And I was just like, okay, fine, whatever. Like, I didn't think twice about it. It's like, so it's like a TMZ, but for normal college people.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, cool. That's great that it's been so successful. Good for you. Like, that's about as far as that went. And it's not until I married him and the media and my family were calling me, like, who did you marry? That I was like, what is this dirty.com? And there was such a circus that happened after we got married.
Like, I remember, well, just recently, like, I looked at the video of the wedding and then also of you getting off the plane without him.
Right.
Coming back from Vegas.
Yes.
And TMZ is like, is it really true you married him? And you were like, yeah, we got married and then we're going to date after.
Right.
Like, and we're doing it backwards and like, whatever. Right. And then, so, I mean,
it was exactly
true.
Yeah. Like, it's not like I was like, I'm going to marry this person, move into his house tomorrow. He's going to start, you know, he had like $400 in his account at the time. Like, he was living on, he was just being paid weekly from the dirty. You know what I mean? So, and I only say that because he couldn't get me a plane ticket back to LAX. I had to buy my own ticket from Las Vegas. And, you know, but at that time in my life, it's like money. I was not, it was like an afterthought.
Yeah.
Right? And it's so, when he comes here and says that I, like, scored in marrying him because of his financial status, it's like, okay, so you're telling me that when I arrived to Chandler, Arizona, and you are living with your roommate, Ari, who is technically half your agent, half your roommate, in Chandler, and that is your life, and you're driving a Ford Expedition with the blower thing because you just got arrested for your DUI. It's like, I don't think so. Like, it's so not what I married.
Okay, but you obviously at some point fell in love with them.
Right.
Because you did stay together quite a long time.
Absolutely. So it kind of, like I said, it was a whirlwind of when I landed in California, and I just felt so alone. It's like, I did this with him. He should be by my side, like, you know, with the paparazzi. And I'm just like, yeah, I know his real name. Yeah. Like, we're doing it backwards. Like, leave me alone. There's no news here. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, Extra and Entertainment Tonight wanted to do interviews, and he was all about it. And so I was like, oh, okay, fine. So he would fly out, and we would do these interviews. And I realized that I didn't have a ring. And so I call up my old friends at Tacori, who happened to give me my bachelor ring.
Yeah.
And we had become good friends.
Yeah.
I would borrow jewelry from them if I would do, like, press and stuff like that. And I'm like, look, I'm in a dilemma. I'm married, and I'm about to do press that we're married, but there's no ring. Can I borrow one of your engagement rings, you know?
Yeah.
And so absolutely, 100%, I meet one of Tacori's agents at Coffee Bean on Ventura in like, Tarzana. And I arrive, and she has, like, a stunning, like, it's massive ring, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, you're, like, I don't know. I owe you for life. I'm like, I'll get it back to you. Oh, no. This is yours. I'm like, what? And they're like, no, we want to gift you the ring. Just make sure our name is probably, you know, so that makes sense to me. But still, I'm just like, that ring is very large, larger than the one I got on The Bachelor. And it's definitely going to make a splash. And so I walk in with my new ring that he supposedly bought me, that I was just gifted from Decor, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we do an interview, and it just became a whirlwind. And I was just like, we just decided that I should move with him to Scottsdale, or Chandler. And, you know, kind of start our life. Because I was just, like, done with L.A., ready to go. And that's, I just thought that I...
So when, after you move to Scottsdale, does he then remove himself from the dirty? Now, he said he never made a dime on it. But then other people said, no, that's, that they had done the research and he did, in fact, sell it.
So
did he not sell it for any kind of money?
So when I moved to Chandler, I made us both move out into our own little condo, and it was the first year we were married. So I started to see what his whole deal was. Mm-hmm. And he was this guy on the dirty who, you know, posts come in, which I would fight with him over because I felt it was inappropriate. I was getting hate. I was just like the anti, like, why would I? Why are you telling this person you'd fuck her? Like, that is not inappropriate to me.
He would himself.
Yes, like, because on the website, people would submit, would you fuck her? And, like, I read one night, like, I would just scroll at night.
Yeah.
And, like, I could see myself in her eyes. And I was just like, oh, like, I'm, like, married. So in my mind, I am, like, wifey. This is my husband. And he always brushed it off like, this is my job. So I never went really into the dirty or looked at the dirty.
He kind of said, like, he had this persona where girl, because it was such, like, this website that was, like, telling on people, there was also this element where girls would be like, Nick.
But it became
just that. Tell me, should I get a boob job? What do I need to do to be hot?
Right, right. Yeah. And so all of a sudden he was, like, very godlike-ish to these college girls.
Yes.
Almost like he was like a legend when he would go into their little college town.
Right.
So then I started accompanying him on these little college adventures and realizing what this life he's lit. Like, just drinks all weekend long, sits and parties his night away with girls, and just there was nothing to it. I'm like, have you ever thought maybe introducing yourself to the owner of the club? Maybe, you know, gain contacts from you going about, like, you're just living like a rock star, and this Ari guy is just telling you where you're going next. Like, I was like, you need to evolve, right? And so he's just like, you know, you're right. Because I'm like, you need to, like, this is all you can't be 40 and in a nightclub. Boy, was I wrong about that. You know, and so I started to almost make him realize he needs to evolve. Like, something needs to, you know, like, pretty much, I'm going to have you sell the dirty or get rid of it. So you have, like, a year to figure it out. You know what I mean? Because I'm done. I'm done with the way it is, what it does to people, how, I mean, it's just, I was just done.
Mm-hmm.
And him, you know, going through his phone and he has just boobs and boobs and text messages from people. I mean, Heather, I can't tell you how many inappropriate things I've found on his phone, and it's all just been like,
but this
it's
is back,
for work.
But that was back in the dirty days. That's not
yes,
recent.
Yes, but
yeah.
It is, like, it's always just kept going.
Right. Okay.
And it's always been an excuse, like, one thing, and I'm just like, this is just also inappropriate. And so he's still with the dirty. I get pregnant, so I say we're moving back to California because I want to be. So I'm pregnant. He's still going out to these nightclubs, doing his thing. Well, I'm pregnant here in California.
But going out to those nightclubs and stuff is profitable. He gets paid.
He's
a big
getting
fee
paid
because he's
right.
Bringing such loud, large crowds
right.
to these clubs.
So he's
right.
going technically, absolutely. So he's working. He's uh-huh. going out to the. But that's the lifestyle that I wanted him out of.
Yes.
Like, you need to figure out how you or this company can make money without you having to be face of it.
Right.
Because this is gone on long enough. You know, you're about to be a family man now.
But at this time, you guys are a real couple with a real connection, in love, excited for the birth of your first child.
Yes.
Okay. So continue.
And so with that being like on the sidelines, you know? And so we have press, and when we have press is when I start realizing how addicted he is to fame, social media, entertainment, name being out there, like himself, because he would call up TMZ all the time, like, and tell stories behind my back, and then it would somehow appear on the web. And he always would say, no, that's not me. They just found out.
What kind of a story? What's an example?
Like, somehow they got my sonogram of press in my stomach and put it, like, they're naming their child Press. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh.
But in reality, press came from, I was pregnant, a bridesmaid at a wedding. I felt her kick for the first time. The restaurant was beautifully written cursive named Press, P-R-E-S-S. That's why I named my child Press, not Press, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he would love to just twist it and have it be this narrative that really just wasn't. But I was just so like, whatever. You know what I mean? I just don't have time for it and to fight him. And so we had press, and then I very quickly realized that he's, you know, definitely not who I thought he was. And I'm not going to sit here and bash him or the father or whatnot, because we do have children. But I just quickly realized maybe this isn't my dream life that, like, I imagined it was going to turn into. And so having press, it was very, very difficult as a baby because he was still in that world, but yet I was not. So we were now going separate paths because I haven't, like, had a sip of alcohol since press was even, like, when I found out I was pregnant, right? And so I still don't drink till this day because I just don't, because I expected him at some point to just stop that lifestyle. And then once I had press, I was living that lifestyle as a mom, not going with my husband to go partying every weekend. So we kind of started to veer off, right? And at night, when Press was a baby and I would get up and care for her, he would freak out that he had to sleep because he, you know, needed to work and wake up and da-da-da, and the baby's crying. So he started to go sleep in the guest room.
All the way back then? Like,
yes,
how old is your
daughter
now?
I'm talking about Press is 9.
Okay.
So Press is 9, so he starts to go sleep in the guest room. And I'm just like, whatever. You know, you want to leave our bed and go get, like, it's fine. You're not helping me anyways. Like, and that was okay to me. Like,
and there's a lot of couples that do that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's,
and
like,
I was completely fine with it. And, you know, it's just a very short phase in an infant's life. He was the provider. You know what I mean? He needs to work. Absolutely. So that's where our kind of relationship started to kind of, as far as being in love in this happy married couple.
When did you guys do the couples therapy
thing? So then here we are. Press is born 6 months. Press is 6 months old, and Nick comes to me and goes, I want to do this show. We've been offered to do the show. And I said, absolutely not, because we would have to go move into a house.
This is the Chatsworth house?
Yes.
Couples therapy VH1.
Yes.
Okay.
Move into the house, right? And he's selling me all this. I go, what is the show about? Like, what is it? You know, what's the prize? Or, like, tell me. He's like, it's called couples therapy. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. What? Like, you want to go sell our soul to make money, to act like, bring up normal problems, leave our daughter who's 6 months old at home with grandma while we go do. And I refused. I was like, no. And somehow he got me to do it, because since I had a quote from my show on E, like, I did get paid very well. And he got pennies. But
you get paid as a couple.
No. We got separate checks.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And so, excuse excuse me. He sold me on, like, this will help our family and da-da-da. And I'm like, you know what? Fine. If I can go and film a few weeks and make that much money for us and then be done with it.
Yeah.
Fine.
Like, I don't blame you.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. he's living off, we're living off of his paycheck. So why not? And so we go and I did not.
So you get one paycheck and he gets another.
Right. But okay. I never saw my paycheck. Like my paycheck he took and put into his, like he's always been in charge of the finances.
Of paying the mortgage and all that stuff.
Right. And so I always just got like a little, what is it called?
Like allowance.
Allowance. Yeah. Every week. Right. And so he always took care of that. And that's. I mean, I didn't need to pay the gas bill or yeah. worry about that. You know what I mean?
And again, I want to say that's very common too, that sometimes it's the woman that handles all the finances.
Right.
So it's not always this like, you know, strange thing. So just to clear that up, I don't want it to be
yeah,
like
yeah.
that's a bad thing.
Because, oh, no, yeah. absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so continue.
And so here's Press, 6 months
so
old.
So what was the experience
so
of
the
it?
So the experience of it was I got paid. Like, if I were to look back at it, that's exactly what it was for, what I got out of it.
And how did you feel that you guys came off as a couple on it?
I did The Bachelor. I look at him and I go, if we need therapy, let's go get therapy. Because we will not be getting therapy on a reality therapy show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so between me and you, let's not kid ourselves here. We know why we're doing this. And, you know.
And if I was producing that show, I'd want you guys too. It's an amazing
absolutely.
Story.
Absolutely. And
you didn't, you absolutely. Knew each other 12 hours before you yep. got married. But you actually are still together and you have a child and you're both in the, you know, in the world of Hollywood. So I can see why it was, why you guys, they wanted you.
Right. And at the time, I was emotional and vulnerable. I just had Press, 6 months into it, new mom, doing it all on my own, basically. And that's pretty much what our fights and problems were that we talked about on the show. Like, you know, we talked about how we as a couple decided he would work and I would be the stay-at-home mom, that I would not have a job or focus on my career. And we made that as a joint thing. So I had to accept whatever it was that he had to do to pay for our life because of, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So that was basically the storyline. Like, I had to come to terms with, maybe I don't agree with his website and what he does, but it's how he pays our bills, okay? And so there was a whole respect thing. So cut to, so that's over. And he just loved being in front of the, he just loves it. Like, he is just somebody that loves his ego. He loves himself. And I'm just like, ugh. You know what I mean? Like, get me out of here. I just want to go home. And so our relationship never, ever got back to square one. It just continued. He stayed in the guest room. You know, he actually moves into the guest room. And I'm like, you know what? Shit. If I could have my own bathroom, my own closet, like, I'm good. We don't need to be the typical married couple, you know? So it's like, yeah, I realize that we probably weren't your average marriage, but we did what worked for us. And,
right.
and that's, I had no problem with that. And Nick is a person that if he's not having his ego fed, he goes into depression, and then he'll definitely let you know now he's depressed, you know? And there was just lots of behaviors that started to occur that became over and over again. And I just started to become littler and littler. And then when, considering I didn't have my career as an outlet, I was just a stay-at-home mom. Now I am under the umbrella of this man feeds me money, you know, like, and he's in complete control. Like,
So after the couples therapy, then you unfortunately lose your baby.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So we know about that horrible tragedy. I'm sorry. And then after that is when you do conceive, but through the surrogate, and that is with Shauna
2.
Shauna 2, wife number 5. Your dad's?
Yes.
And that Shauna was on the Second Wives Club.
Yes, which I.
Which was also on E!
Right.
And, but that was...
And that is why my dad divorced her, by the way, is that show.
Why?
Because apparently she was just not very nice. Like, she just completely sold my dad out.
She kind of did, because I watched it. I was like the one of three
and
people
I'm like,
that watched
I'm
it.
Like, yeah, I didn't even, I'm like, he's like, daughter. She like,
that's what he calls you, daughter?
Yes, yes. Because I'm his oldest, and he's got like 20 kids. So he like, you know, he like, all instead of all the names, Shane, Shauna, it's like daughter. Okay?
Yeah.
And so he would just be like, daughter, she just said on national television that she makes the income. Like, she just totally shitted on him.
So they fell in love. They get married.
Shauna?
They get married.
Then I find out that she's, like, has, like, 12 kids in another country. Like, she works in this company that she, like, sold her eggs or whatever.
Oh, she sold her eggs?
Yes. And so they had hid that for a long time. But he ends up marrying her. She's my age.
But she doesn't have any children that she's raising.
Never had children. Doesn't want children.
Okay.
But it always wanted to be pregnant.
Okay.
So when I happened to find out that I was in the hospital in a coma, okay, and then when I come to, my dad's there and Shauna's there, right? They're married. And Shauna, I remember saying, I'll be your surrogate. And I remember laughing at her like, how funny would that be? My dad's wife carrying my kid. Yeah, okay, Shauna, I'll really take you up on that. And plus, at that time, I didn't realize that my doctor had kept my
your eggs.
My embryos.
Yes,
or my
your eggs.
Uteruses.
Yes.
Or whatever.
The fallopian tubes so that you could make the eggs.
What are they called? Ovaries?
Yes.
Okay.
Kept your ovaries.
So the doctor who saved my life and cut my son out of my body parts, you know, he was like inside my bladder,
yeah,
one hand
like
into my
thing.
Bladder.
Wow.
Freak thing. Should have been dead. Done. But I fought and I came back alive because I had a daughter.
Yes.
And so the doctor that saved my life, he was like rushed in from Newport Beach because they didn't know what to do. Here my son is thriving in my belly, but attached to all my body parts. Okay.
Wow.
Like one hand, that's how I fainted, because one hand he grew so big it popped the placenta, so
wow.
I started to internally bleed, so dying, and I'm just like, Nick, call 911, and that's all I really remember. And so thank God he did. And the ER doctor was like, this woman's dying on my table. I was losing blood. Then there's baby. She didn't know even where to begin, what to do. There was no time. So she actually made a lifeline and called a doctor in the middle of the night who cuts cancer out of cancer patients, out of, you know, their
yeah.
little body parts. Like, so they don't, you know, because like his little hand that was cut out of my bladder, it's like he did it so I can actually live a normal life and
wow.
don't have to have a pee bag. You know what I mean? Like, he was a lifesaver, but, like, I was so blessed to mm-hmm. have that person even come to my aid, not knowing who I was. He was about to go to Hawaii with his family. Like, it's
wow.
a miracle
what,
of a story.
Do you remember his name?
Doctor, oh, my gosh. No, but I could, he's...
Yeah.
Dr. Brown, I want to say. He's in Newport Beach, and he's like, you can't get
yeah.
into this guy because
yeah.
he is, right? And he's not an ER doctor. She called a lifeline.
Yeah.
The ER doctor, she called.
So you owe
like
her too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, this woman, I was 31 at the time, maybe 30. Yeah, young. She's a mom. And so he comes in. You know, they're feeling she's young, she's healthy, she's a mom. Right away, you know, he, unfortunately, my son,
yeah.
because he, you know,
there's no
he
way.
Made that choice, by
yeah.
the way. My husband was not, there was no time to go ask Nick, would you like me to save your son or your wife? You know, it was, Nick was just being told what was going on.
Yeah.
So he would come out in full blood and be like, oh, I'm sorry, sir, you've lost your son. And at the time, we didn't know what we were having. So we're just trying to save your wife. So long story short.
Horrifically traumatic for both of you guys, obviously.
Yeah. Absolutely. And he's calling my family to come down because they're telling him I'm not going to make it because I was dying and dying and dying. I mean, I had to be brought back to life so many times because he's trying to, like, you know, get me all removed, but I'm losing blood and they're pumping me with blood and I'm just going in and out. I mean, it was like an absolute miracle. And we can sit here for an hour about what happened with me and all that, where I went. But long story.
What do you mean? Do you think you went to heaven? Did you see something?
I mean, I didn't. Okay. It was almost like I floated up and I saw my body. Almost like a movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, get me back into that body. I am not going anywhere other than in there. Like, go back down there, Shane. And it was almost, I'm getting chills because it's almost like I had to fight so hard to get back in my body. And when they say, like, don't give up, they're not kidding. Like, you have to, with every ounce of your being, you have to fight to come back into your body, because I was going, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And if I was in, maybe if Press wasn't around and I was just in a bad state of my life, I mean, I could just see how easily it is to just slip
up
and go. I mean, it's there for you, but you have to literally, it was probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, and it's just a memory. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Because I remember just, I mean, it was like physically you had to go through. Anyways, we'll get into that next juicy scoop.
But okay, so this, you know, very
sad
thing happened.
Very sad thing happened, you know, and I was told I had a hysterectomy. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. We just thought it was over, you know what I mean? But I was just lucky to have Press. I had her little pink boot by my side in the bed. And I looked at the doctor and said, how do I get home? He's like, you have to be off of every one of these machines, pumping all these different drugs. And I'm like, take them away, take them away. So, like, I would sit there in so much pain because I just wanted to be out with my little baby girl. And that, you know what I mean? And when they even give you pain meds, when they let you go, I wanted nothing to do with it. I just wanted to go back to being normal and a mom and focus on that. And so cut to, I go and say thank you to Dr. Brown in his office like 7 months later. He hands me a card for a fertility person. And it's Dr. Smotrich. And he goes, you should call him and have him check out your ovaries and your eggs. I'm sure they're fine. I'm like, what? Wait, I still have my ovaries?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, wow, you know, I must have not written it down that I kept your ovaries in because it was just such a chaotic night. I guess nobody told you. I'm like, nobody told me that I actually could have children. No. And he's like, give them a call. So we did, and I pulled my ovaries out, and they checked them, and they were. So then I was like, driving one day, I was like, maybe I should text Shauna. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, why not? She offered. So
and you guys got along. You were friendly.
Yeah. I mean, she was my dad's wife. Like, at this point, you know, it's just like, you just get
Yeah. So she agrees.
And so she's like, absolutely, this is my dream come true. I want to carry, da 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 da. One shot wonder. Lion went in. It took one time. Like, because I was saying, I'm not going to drag myself or my family through this. We're doing it once. That's it. You know, I'm not.
So how many embryos did you put in?
One.
Just one.
Just Lion. Yeah, just one. I actually wanted a girl, but but we still have like 15. Okay.
So now.
Well, not anymore. But so now we have Lion. And so then my mom passes away. And there was that because it was just shocking. And she had like a small form of pneumonia and went and got one of those inhaler things from the ER that night and took some like cold medicine. And apparently, I didn't know this till then, but if you mix those two, your heart can stop. So she passed in her sleep, just a freak accident.
Wow.
And we can call it a drug overdose. We can call it whatever you want. Technically, It is, you know, but my mother didn't die with a needle of heroin sticking out of her arm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that is something that I definitely want to make very clear. My mother, we all have our own problems, and my mother had her own problems, but that is in no way to discredit her as a mother, as, you know what I mean? Like, she was single, she had her own depression and stuff like that, but her death, you know, was just a tragic tragedy. And at this point, you know, there was just so much going on in life. My marriage, I don't even know what it was. It was just there.
So this was 2 years ago mm-hmm. that your mom passed. And so 2 years ago, you have Press, you have Lion. And so that's, now we're at just 2 years back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but when did he sell the dirty?
Okay, so that was just 2-3 years ago.
That he sold the dirty.
So... And I have never actually seen our joint bank account because he has kept me so in the dark about what we make and what have you. My lawyer's like, so you don't know what you have in the bank? I'm like, no. And now I really don't because he's just cut me completely. I can't do anything. Like, it's had to be through court orders and all this just to be able to go out and buy myself a car because he stole mine and sold it and left me with no car. He's just been a terrible, terrible person to divorce. But I've known that for many years. I knew that if I was going to divorce and when I would to divorce this man when life calmed down, I had to do it at a time when I felt he was most sane and that I had built up my strength because I didn't have any credit. I didn't have any personal savings. He was he made our money. I haven't worked for 10 years. You know what I'm saying? So these are all things I had to contemplate when I've basically been wanting to divorce this man for 5 years now, 6 years. Our marriage has never been what it seemed it was, ever. And it came to a point where, like, I almost feel like he knew that too, but he didn't mind the facade of it, of having his trophy wife and family and, you know what I mean, occasionally get laid once in a while. I actually want, like, a real husband that I adore and love and that looks at me and is proud of me and appreciates me, and I want him to have that too. So it was never like, oh my God, he's going to like freak out. It was like, he's just got to be in the place where he's not on the attack and he's not going to drown me. And so with him and his life and him being diagnosed with MS, there was just...
And when did that happen?
That was something like, we didn't touch that on. That was before Lion was born.
Oh, okay.
So he was diagnosed because like his fingers started... So then there was a whole year of him trying to figure out what that was about, and we realized it was, you know, that. And so, you know, I always told him he eats like shit, he drinks. You know, I don't drink, so I'm just like, whenever he did drink, there would be that whole war, and he'd be a monster for the week after, and he did it every week. You know, and all these things, even though he's been diagnosed with MS, he's eating like shit, drinking like shit. It's just like, at some point, you need to make a change, or, you know what I mean? Stop blaming everybody for, you know, and being that victim. And that's what he was. And he became a victim of MS, and every, like, his parents would, you know, bow down to him because he has a disease and da da da. When absolutely, I am not saying that that is a horrible thing, but there comes a point where you need to make a change in your life because doctors are saying it will progress if you don't do A, B, and C, and stop, you know, playing poor me, I can't do this, or I went nuts and went crazy last night on Shane and verbally abused her because of the MS. Like, everything was an excuse back to the MS. And I was getting sick and tired of it. And, you know, there's people that are sick, and then there's people that are sick, and they use that just, you know, victim, like... Even the divorce, you can see it as he speaks. He's the victim of it all. He cannot take any responsibility for anything.
So when he says, you know, he was really blindsided and it was your 11-year anniversary and he presented you.
So here we are. Okay, so
Is that the Rolex?
No, no, no. Uh-uh.
Okay.
Oh, that he bought me a No, I sold that Rolex to get my car.
Okay. But he did. But he says 11-year anniversary, he gets you a Rolex.
Yeah, which...
A ring, okay. A car.
What does that mean?
Happy anniversary.
A Rolex.
And then right
you know
when
I mean?
He gives it to you is when you say, actually, I want to get divorced.
That is like, I love his story. It's great. It's not real, but
okay.
It's, you know, this is him. He's like just a, like, he lies about everything. Like, you ask him the time and he's like, noon. But if it's to his advantage that he tells me it's noon and it's really 9, you know what I mean? Like, no, what is the real time? Noon. Like, he will lie about everything. And so I've known this for years. It's like, it just is what it is. But he definitely lies about, like, embellishing things and stories and making up his own narrative. Like, he's a journalist. He loves to write. But when I tell him, stop writing, like, my storyline, please, because that's not, you know, true. And he loves his social media and sharing things. And when he would just share little things and just make it up, I'm like, dude, you just said we're, you know, like a story, for instance, he made up this whole story about how we went to Hawaii. And before we went to Hawaii, I ordered all these packages of like bronzing lotion and like just made up story. Okay. And post on Facebook.
And when was this?
And
before,
like,
you got divorced?
Yes. This was just throughout. Like, this is him. And I'm just like, why would you, like...
What's the point?
What? Kind of, you know? And he would just be like, I don't know. Leave me alone. Like, I can do whatever I want. Right? So I almost had a rule for him. He cannot talk about me on website, on his website, publicly, because he just makes stuff up.
Okay. So when he sells the dirty...
So...
Then he starts going to college.
So he sells the dirty. He claims he's retired. Okay. So he starts to go to college during that time, and
but you're not asking, do we have enough money for you to be retired?
No, because he's no,
because you're
absolutely.
Because your lifestyle is still being provided by,
and
so
it's almost elevating.
Okay,
like I, for instance, it's never been like, hey Shane, we're not doing so swell, so you know you need to cut back on your spending,
or Shane, we are because,
or Shane, we have $2.3 million in the bank.
Because I sold the dirty.
Right. Okay. Like, I, honestly, 11 years, have no idea what has been in our account ever since the day I married him, our joint account, except from what I've put in it. He has always sent me a little $500 every Monday up until just 6 months ago. That's what I got to spend on our children, on our thing. He took care of everything else. I was given an Amex. And over the years, that limit increased from like 1,000. The next year it was 2,000. All the way up until before it was cut, my limit was like 7,500. So this was just me living my life, right? Like, because I assumed that that was, I didn't know.
Right, right. No, I believe
it wasn't any of my business, really. I mean, I would ask him and he would just, you know, lie always. He just always lies, whatever, which way it would benefit him. And so, you know, but we're going on all these trips and all this stuff. And the money thing never bothered me. I mean, I grew up with money, okay? So if I had $5, fine. If I had $5 million, fine. I'll spend it both. Like, if I have to adjust my life, great. If I have to live, if I, you know, can buy this, great. Like, stuff and things are nice to have, but it by no means fulfills me in any way. And, you know, that's another misconception that is out there. And so...
Here, can you come a little closer to the mic?
Oh, yeah. I'm like,
rolling
so far.
Away.
I know.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, there's this all this... accusations about how I married him for money, married into money, married for money. It's like, no, no, I've just been a mother in Orange County, okay, housewife, dealing with our life, dealing with all of the
okay,
things
that
happened.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that he mentioned about how, you know, he had to go to Starbucks
okay, so
and CVS every day.
Yeah, yeah, so we'll get to that, but let me just finish about how
yes.
this all ended
yes.
in... About a year ago, he had always thrown divorce around to me, like threatened me. But I told
in
him.
In fights and things.
Yes. If I ever say the word divorce, I mean it and I will do it, right? And I had never said that word throughout all of our marriage. And he knows, like, he used the fact that I, you know, have lived under his umbrella for all these years and that I can't just go out and get an apartment because I have no credit or means, right? So he has used that in a way where I have become acceptable to his behaviors and the way I was treated and just shut up and live my life as his wife and mother and just would in my head be like the day that I do get the balls to actually leave him and figure this out. And so a year ago, my daughter wins a pageant and she's Miss California. And with that, we have to travel all around California. And so I was traveling with my daughter last year all around to California for the first time in my life alone, booking hotels for us, booking rental cars for the first time in my name. So here I am, like, getting some gusto behind me, realizing, like, I can actually do this. I mean, like, I know I couldn't, but after being in submission for so long and not doing these things and not knowing if you can even survive out there, I realized, like, I am perfectly capable of being my own strong, individual, independent person, and I will figure it out. And you know what? That money in the bank, that's both of ours.
Of course.
We have been married for 10 years. I have not asked a single question. He has made the big purchases. He is, you know, anything out of $500, it's made by him. And I've helped accumulate that, maybe not actually working or going into the job or what have you. But
that's being, marriage. You don't have to explain it.
That is
marriage.
What we both agreed on.
That's California,
you know,
marriage.
Exactly.
I mean, that just is.
Like, it
doesn't
just
matter.
Is. And, yeah. And basically, so every dollar it's just amount is mine, is just as it's his. And with the businesses as well. So we have Lamas Richie Productions, which I'm 50%, you know, of. Then he goes and starts a celeb thing. And quickly I started realizing that this guy spends awfully a lot of money to promote himself. And I realized that when he started celeb. Because first of all, he's supposed to be retired. We go through a pandemic, which living with him was a complete hell on earth. Okay. Seeing him every day. I mean, my kids and I, we were all just miserable. And so he started this celeb thing and he started just putting money in it. And I just started to think, like, where is all this money coming from? Like, why are we spending? Why is he, you know, he'd get an office, he'd go there once. I'm just like, I started to ask questions finally. Like, so where is the money coming from to pay for this so-called new show you have? Like, do you have a production company behind it that's backing it? Are you paying for this out of our financial, you know?
Do you have investors? Yeah.
Right. Like, what is it? And he did not like that.
You asking questions.
At all. Silence, silence, silence. It would, you know, lies like, oh, that failed. Lamas Richie went under. Relic is, you know, did it. So when I would ask him these questions, he would just tell me, I have no idea what I'm talking about, just to shut up, stay away. You know what I mean? And so then I started to get really worried and concerned about my future. And considering we were still renting,
Did you ever own a home?
Because he always had lawsuits. So that was always the excuse that we'd never settled down to our dream because he always was being sued. And
so you'd rent nice homes though, mm-hmm. for a couple years
right.
each time.
Right.
So were you moving like every 2 years?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so here we are now in this last home, the biggest home, the most expensive home we've owned.
Since, oh, you owned it or rented?
Rented. Rent. Okay. And, you know, I'm now 35 and realizing, what do I want? First of all, I don't have a home to call home. Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, I'm starting to worry about, okay, what is actually going on here? What is our plan? You know what I mean? Since the lawsuits are over, he got rid of the dirty. Why aren't we, like, now putting down roots? You know, what? I have two kids. You know, I just started realizing, like, he had no, all his, the money and our money, it's all mixed and intertwined with so many of his brilliant fucking ideas. And every brilliant idea fucking fails because he's doing it thinking it's a genius idea without running it by me or anybody else. And everybody's, telling him it's great, it's great. But it's not great. And it will not make money. And it's only money is being bled. And so when I start to talk to him like this, he gets very, very aggressive. And we had a huge, massive blow-up fight about November. Or wait. Yes, November. And I said, you know what? I just read your book for the first time because I was scared shitless.
When did you have a book come out?
He wrote a book like 4 or 5 years ago.
That was published.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was going to bring it to you to read.
Well, I can get it. I want to read it now.
Yeah. I can get it
too. So you finally read his book.
So I finally read his book because I was, I was like, you know what? Because I didn't ever read it because A, I knew all the stories in there would be a lie. Like he's had he's been with like many multiple women at one time. What is that called? A three-way? It's like you can't even get your wife off, let alone three people or two. You know what I mean? Like, this is crazy. You're not some sex god. Like, so I finally read this book for the first time and I'm just laughing. And then it's talking about how he had anal sex, right? And I'm almost, and then I read the last page and it was some little message to press. I go, if you're going to fucking write a book and you're going to talk about how you had anal and then dedicate that book to my daughter, I've got a problem with it.
I just don't understand how you wouldn't have read his book.
Because I was so scared to read his book because it's all bullshit anyways. Like, it's about what he was telling you what he did back in the day with the girls and being this heartthrob, right?
So you get in this wicked fight.
So we get in this fight because I talked to him about how he'd written about anal and then my daughter, like a little memoir to her. And I was like, you know what? You can go out, do whatever you want, but leave us out of print. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be on your projects. I don't want to be, like, leave our kids out of it. Like, that's it. He flipped out. He blames it on MS that he can't remember. Because I'm like, so did you have anal or not? Because I should know this. I'm your wife. And I didn't know that you've done anal. Blah, blah, blah. And he's just like in the shower. He's like, I don't know. I can't remember. This is the form of MS. I'm like, that's bullshit. And I just had enough. I was like, I want a divorce. I am done. You can't even have a conversation with me. Just with me asking questions. Like, I get it. I ask him to take out the trash and it's like, holy fuck, the world is gonna end. But at the end of the day, whatever, it's meaningless. Right. I'll just take out the trash myself. But I'm sitting here trying to have a real grown-up conversation and he's just like shoving it under the rug, being, you know what I mean? And I just, it's enough.
So what?
So we decided to let his lawyer work out the financial details, okay, put the divorce together, and then I'd sign it. And with that being said,
so he at that point was not begging you.
No, he's like, okay, I get it. You know, because,
all right,
granted, we didn't have much of a marriage.
Okay.
Okay. But I don't think he really thought that I was actually going to go through with it. I have no idea. I don't care.
Okay. But you do. But he gets the attorneys on it. So he is accepting it at that point.
So we are talking with, yes. And we're totally, after that blow up fight, there was time to settle. But like, we were totally going to do this, like, and be rock stars at like the poster child for divorcing and being awesome
co-parents,
parents and best friends. Like,
yeah.
That's why how it's all ended and is just, as shocking to me as it is to everybody else. So here we are. His lawyers are lagging. They're not, I'm asking. So months and months go by. Finally, I get a call. So we're not, We even have, like, our own schedule with the kids worked out, where he's still living in the house, but 1 week was his, 1 week was mine. Okay, so we're living as a separated couple.
Okay.
He goes to Miami and does whatever. I don't ask questions. Page Six calls me on a Monday and goes, so, you know, there's reports that Nick Ritchie is single and acting single and that there's problems in your marriage. And I took a deep breath because I know that's Nick and his love for publicity called Page Six and fed them that story because he wants to get tabloid, you know, press from our marriage, apparently, because it was coming to that point where it would, you know, be public that we weren't together. So I was like, oh, really? They say, would you like to make a comment? And I said, a comment? A comment about what? Like, what's, you know, going on? I go, okay, sure. You know what? And at that point, I also had enough. And I literally, there was no thought to it. I just said it. I was like, you know what? Basically, Nick and I have been separated for a while now. We haven't been intimate in over a year. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that divorce then follows. We both hope that we can do this, you know, and remain best friends, right? So I said that to him, hung up, called Nick and said, why would you call Page Six and feed them the story that you're out and about in Miami because you want to get press, you know, for your friends in Miami and be Nick Ritchie out and about single? And of course he lies and says, yeah. And I'm like, look, the reporter told me, like, nobody knows who you are, Nick, and nobody cares that you're out there acting single. You are not Michael Jackson. I am not, you know, Paris Hilton. Like, we are nobody. Nobody cares. They only know because you called them and alerted them of it. And so when I gave that statement to Page Six, they realized, oh, wait, it's not just a comment now. They turned my statement into a story. So it almost looked like I went to them to give them my statement, but it was just a comment because he had realized that this is probably the first time. So Page Six, good for them. So he had not said anything. Nick had said anything because he knows he called, and it sucks for you. You open this bandwagon and I'm just going to go for it and let him know. And so he could have come back, but yet he tells me, you know what, it's right, it's best that we start living, you know, truthfully, we're not together. That's just, like, what it is. And we still maintained that we were doing this correctly. And then I was like, by the way, how is our divorce going? And I started to realize that him and his lawyer, I don't know what they were doing, but I'm like, I'm just going to file because, like, nothing's getting done, and we need somebody to file the papers and get it going. And I call my father. This is the one and only time my dad has been involved in this, and he has been dragged through the mud. I call my dad, and I go, Dad, look, we just need, like, a simple attorney that can file some paperwork, kind of get things going on my side. He's like, oh, absolutely, you both should have...
And how did your dad feel when you revealed to him that, you know, you were going to end your marriage?
My dad feels that he is no person to come to for marriage advice, nor would he be.
But he's going to be there for daughter when daughter calls.
Exactly. Yeah. And I said, do you know of any attorney? He goes, absolutely. I'll give you the attorney that I used, that Shauna and I used. And she was great. We got it done. So me going and calling his lawyer... was what, that's all my dad's done. Yeah. And all of a sudden, him and I, Nick says, have, like, teamed up to, like, I don't even
know.
Well,
it's interesting, you know, that he says that, like, they betrayed. I'm like, well, first of all, you know, and I was blindsided. And
that,
you know,
is a...
But I wanted to say, you know, it's very rare that a couple is completely on the same page and just one day come to breakfast and be like, you know what I was thinking? Yeah, I was thinking that too. What right. A great 11 years we've had. Okay. I mean, it never happens. It's always one person, you know, it feels hurt and the other one wants
right.
out more.
And that's understandable.
And that's understandable. But I'm like, but, you know, the quote unquote being blindsided, I'm like, But you do need to get your ducks in a row.
Right.
Especially when you're in a position like yours. You know, you can't, when it's not completely transparent, you do have to get your ducks in a row, and you might have to blindside the person a little bit. Even if you did do that, you're claiming you didn't. But even if you did, I'd say, I've had friends that have been blindsided, and I've had friends that have blindsided their husbands.
Right.
You know, and they're like, oh, I thought we were just taking a break. Like, I didn't know I'd be served today. Whatever the case. The other part is, of course your dad
is going to help
me. And I would think your daughter wasn't happy with her husband, I would hope that Nick would be the first person that she calls, and Nick would be there in a hot fucking second. So it's like, I don't think he should be mad about the fact that
it's absurd. Because my dad was still, he didn't want to get involved.
Right.
And the fact that Nick just went nuts on my father for just providing a phone number, it's like it started to show my dad who I was divorcing and making him realize why I was divorcing this person, because he's been great. Yeah, charming Nick, you know, with everybody and gets along with everybody. But I've been dealing with somebody else behind closed doors that now my dad is starting to understand because of the texts and the threats that he's now texting my dad that only a not sane person would do. And my dad's like, of course I'm going to help my daughter. She told me that she has no financial access or name on any of your guys' financials. Of course I told her she needs to protect herself in some form. Absolutely. She has a right. She wants the custody schedule in a court order form? Absolutely. I agree with her. Like, these are all, everybody should have representation, period. And so I told him, I said, I'm going to hire this lawyer. He was very well aware. When I say this is the last man on earth that was blindsided, I mean it. And it is a shame that he has gone this way, because it all started with that. Like, and it continues to roll into this whole saga now of this whole story about what I am or was or am going to be. And
okay,
now
so I have questions. Okay. When I've heard your name being thrown around for years, being a potential Real Housewives of OC cast member.
Yes.
And I would see why they would want you guys too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what happened this season with you guys being considered before the separation?
So I've been in talks with them kind of pretty much every other season, but it was never the right season to do it or whatnot. And so they had approached me and I had met with them, and you know, they were they're probably still going to just kind of recast everybody, but not this season. I think this season they're just trying to throw something up there, but that is the main goal, is for them to completely redo Orange County Housewives. Until they have their girls, they're gonna go back to what they've been doing, and that's what you're seeing. And that info I know, because it's not like they have cut me. Like, there's never been a, okay, Shane, we don't want you anymore. It was never like, you're going to film, ever. It never got to that stage. It never got to a signed contract stage. It never got to them talking to Nick stage. Like, they've never been in my house stage. This was all very preliminary. And for him to then go a little bit further and claim that Kelly Dodd was fired because we're not on the show, I have never met Kelly in my entire life. He has never sat with her entire life. If you're saying your friends via Instagram likes, maybe, I don't know.
What I remember him saying was that, you know, they always, in releasing a few people, as they released Bronwyn and Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, who else? Oh, and Elizabeth Vargas. But in doing that, you know, they knew they always wanted some new people. So they were saying, like Kelly did know you guys. So that would have been a natural thing to bring you on.
I see.
And then when Kelly was not asked to return, then that kind of put you guys in a limbo area that had no way of like, who's, you know, it's not Shannon Dorr's friend. So it's like,
yeah, but
so there, that's what he was saying.
Right. And he's making up a narrative to fit his narrative and whatever claims he wants to be. But in no way were we even
close
to filming. Okay. Or I was not even associated with Kelly, and B, like, who is he? Like, first of all, I've been talking to them, not you. And he claims...
Because he said the money was shit and he didn't want to do it.
Well, I mean, everyone knows that.
But that you wanted to do it. Yes. Everybody knows the first couple seasons. You don't do it for money.
And
you do it to get a platform, whether it be social media or a real business or whatever going. Or you go on for 5 years in which... At, you know, year four and five, you do make some real money, you know?
Right,
and then along with that comes all the extra stuff that you make money on. So
absolutely.
That's a known thing, and that's, like, not a secret to anybody. And, I mean, I think you would be great
on it. I mean, I will do it in a heartbeat if the cards line up and what goes on. Really, I mean, I've been in this now divorce nightmare that has taken my attention.
Right.
But 100%, I might be your next Orange County housewife next season. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Still on the table. I probably will be because I need the money. Because apparently, you know what I mean? Like, the way things are going, if I could be on the street in the sleeping bag, that's where I would be.
I mean,
okay,
now what about the
Starbucks
and the CVS field trips every day?
So I don't know, Heather. Like, okay, I drink Starbucks every day. Okay. This man.
You do have a Starbucks in
this
front
man
of you.
Takes our children to school every morning for school, and he stops and gets himself a coffee and me. And this has just been our thing. He brings me the coffee. Maybe it's 8:30 and I'm still in bed. Yes, some people like him. He's a morning person, gets up at 5:30. I like my sleep, so I sleep in till 9, you know, 8:45, what have you. So him saying to get her out of bed at noon, it's just like everything is so exaggerated. And who in their right mind is getting a prescription from CVS every day? Who is that? Who, first of all, and then... Oh, my God. Don't even get me started with this drug thing. It's absolutely absurd considering I am probably one of the most sober, sane, normal, boring people you could ever... I am his driver. Do you know what I mean? Like, I am just, like, so normal that to throw that at me is just such a dagger. And you're not even going after 50% of custody or 100% of custody. Like, he's going to sit here and say that I can't even get out of bed, that I take Adderall to survive, that I crash for weeks on end.
Can you bring me my phone? Because we're going to wrap up and I have to say Nick's statement to you.
That I can't even get out of bed. I can't even get out of bed.
Deny all that.
Oh, take Ambien. And he sleeps in another room because I beat him.
No, I never heard that part.
Oh, my God, I read it.
Okay, well, I never heard that part.
I mean, but at some point, you just have to, like, really? Like...
So, okay. So, I mean, well, yeah, you know. And when he was saying things like, you know,
not to mention, okay, now I'm getting all worked up because I'm getting
all
heated
about this.
Well,
it's funny because when I wrote you to say, you know, full disclosure, he was on my show. I still want you to come on. You were like, I'm good. You know, like, I'm good. I'm fine with it.
Absolutely.
I don't care. And then you write me back.
Oh, my God.
And you're like,
I listened. And I was like, what? What? Like, I was like, everything he said, I was mortified. And, like, my lawyer's like, no, just be quiet. You know what I mean? I'm like, there's no way that I can sit here and let this man talk about me like this and not just one time shut it down. And whoever wants to go and continue on his bandwagon, fine. I don't need those people.
Well, there's
but
a lot of women
sane people
want to date him. I don't know if you looked on his stories.
No. I'm sure.
Okay. Well, he got a lot of roses sent to him this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder who sent those. Oh, my God. This guy thinks he's I don't know, guys. He was never, like, I never allowed him to be, like, that behavior. Like, when he talks about, like, civilians, like, when he talks in that way.
Oh, how do you feel that he calls you Onassis?
Oh, God. Can we talk about Jackie for a second, who is probably one of the most iconic, amazing mother, well-dressed humans.
She was an amazing mother. That's undeniable.
With a story.
Part of the reason she married Onassis was because of her children.
To protect her children.
Because they stopped the Secret
Service
for her.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I know her entire story. You asked me what year she did this, that, and the other thing. I did my research, okay?
So I was like, why are you calling me that? And he's like, well, exactly what you just said. She kind of married someone for money.
He's an idiot. Like, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
But then he also said that you wear too big of sunglasses.
Oh, my God. Then call me Jackie O. That has nothing to do with it.
Just Onassis.
So, I mean, I'm offended because of the way he is just such a piece of shit to me. And I'm the mother of his children. And, like, as of today, he's just so undeniably difficult to deal with. Like, he just is just so bitter and mad that I filed divorce first or that a story gets out and it's my name first. Like, he's so egotistical and all about himself. He cannot sit for a minute and be like, oh, this might affect my children down the line. Like, he can't. He's a narcissist. And I realized that when I started doing research because I never.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm like. Everything.
And Lala Kent did ask him about that. And he said, well, she's the one who has framed modeling photos of herself all over the house.
Heather, if you go into anybody's house in this town and there are framed photos of work that they've done on magazines or whatnot that they're proud of, absolutely.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But what I wanted to clarify is anyone that studies narcissism, it actually doesn't have to do with physical
Absolutely.
Vein.
Thank
it,
you.
It has more to do with, I believe I'm always the smartest in the room.
Right. Absolutely.
And I believe I know better than anybody else. So his response was
reality is they are the most insecure person. And almost, he looks at me going, I wish I had her charisma and her, she can walk into a room and light it up. Like, that's what he sees in me, and he's envious of me in that fact that he doesn't have that. So he overcompensates his charisma, and it's all a big show, and everybody has to be on his side. And if he feels crossed, they're just mutilated, like my father, like my sister, having her story.
Now, what can you share about your sister? Because that was very difficult.
Yeah,
and
which
how is...
How
is she doing? This is Dakota.
Dakota. I haven't seen Dakota in 10 years. She took a really wrong path and into drugs. And she called me about a year ago, said she was pregnant. And I've just been, like, trying to get her into treatment throughout her whole pregnancy. I was dealing all of this, like, stressing out on my own, okay? Nick would just be like, she's a druggy piece of shit. Like, just, you know, but she's my sister. And I gave up trying to get her sober, but I was damn sure going to try and get her sober for my niece, okay? That was, like, my last ditch effort. Like, Wellesley was born on my mother's birthday. And when Wellesley was born, I got to meet Wellesley because Wellesley was taken from then Dakota immediately because of drug, stuff. And I called Hoag Hospital and was like, you need to test that baby. You need to test Dakota because, God forbid, they let Dakota walk right out with that baby. And I'm sorry, I don't care what anybody wants to say, but my number one concern was Wellesley and the well-being of her. She sat in the hospital of the NICU at Hoag for 31 days withdrawing. I would go and see her. Dakota would be supposedly getting sober, still to this day is not sober. Wellesley, because of the fact she was taken from Dakota, has always been in the system, okay? And I have literally been in talks with the CPS, not Nick, myself, because they're trying to get me to adopt her because that's what they do. The family comes first. They try.
I know.
And then if not, then... But these families are more than capable and willing and strive to have and give a child a beautiful life.
Other families. Right. Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
But it's just in the court's thing that family...
They have to exhaust... Every person before they go to a non-family.
Right. Yeah. And there's nobody to exhaust except me because my mom's not with us. Dakota has a loser dad. Her boyfriend is loser, right? So then I start getting Wellesley once a week come to my house. And I am literally taking care of her, dealing with her. And in like having been tested, have these people come to my house to see if it's proper. Like all of these things that you need to do. And... When it came down to Nick having to sign on, because he is...
Your husband.
My husband, yeah. But I told them we're getting a divorce, but he, since still lived in the house, still had to sign on, and he refused, and there's that. And so now Wellesley is with an amazing family that Dakota has about 3 or 4 days from today... till she hits court, and they will most likely take away her rights, and that family will be able to then adopt her. So at this point, I can't even adopt Wellesley because Wellesley has not been.
But do you feel is that what you think is best at
for
this
Wellesley?
Point and for
I
yourself?
made that decision fully on my own when I there wasn't any like. I'm a mother. I have 2 kids. I have a husband who doesn't support that choice, doesn't want anything to do with that baby, calls it a drug baby, like has nicknames for the, I mean, just horrible, right? And I'm getting, like, we're not going to be together anyway. So I'm going to have 3 children now to care for. Then.
No, I'm not.
Absolutely. So
I agree
it took
with
me
your...
a long time, a few weeks, but I finally
struggle,
myself.
But...
came to that decision and I told Dakota and that's that. I'm here for Wellesley any day of the week, anything she needs ever. But I decided that it's best for me and my life at this time for my children and, you know, what I'm going through, that I wasn't going to be that solid home life that she has with this family that she's been with since day one.
And that's beautiful.
And it's beautiful.
Because of foster care, they go through so many kids before they get one, and especially to get a baby, she's very lucky.
And she's almost 1 year old.
So that's
you
perfect.
Know? And so, and I don't want to deal with my sister,
no,
Dakota.
I wouldn't want to either.
You know what I mean?
I've
tried and tried, and that's why it's so upsetting when I am being labeled a drug addict, a shoplifter, a stealer, a horrible mother. Because every single one of those are, like, by far the complete opposite of what is actually truth. And, you know, he can say his truth. That's fine. Like, I'm not here to... I'm just here to tell you.
Well, I'm going to read his statement.
Okay, lovely. He has a statement?
Dear Shane, I want to tell you...
Okay, Steve... What?
Dear Shane, I want to tell you from a place of honesty, thank you for leaving me. This pain in my heart is real. It is something I have never felt, and I need you to know that I will always love you. I needed you and your family to betray me so that I could understand my worth. So honestly, thank you. But please understand our relationship is past the grave. I will never speak to you again, and I say this not out of hate or spite. It is what's healthiest for me to move forward. I just know there is someone else out there who will love me the way I deserve to be loved. Someone I can truly lift up as my queen. All I ask is that you try your hardest to be a great mother to my children. They are my world now. I wish you the best, Shane Lamas. My God look over you and protect you next. May God look over you and protect you next. And I wrote, got it. And so
he wanted you to say this to me.
He
here.
Said, "I want you to share this, on the with the recording." So I share. So I, you know, and I just said, "Got it." And then
here's mine. I'll see you in court.
This was
soon.
This was a week ago when you were supposed to come, and they couldn't.
Oh, right,
so,
right, right. Oh, so
I'm
his
still
statement
sharing
wasn't.
It. So
yeah,
I said this to him before. I said, you know, I hope that he can realize, like, that this is dumb. And I'm sure he will get a new wife.
Absolutely. Maybe. I cannot wait. Because he'll leave me the fuck alone.
And you might have an easier time doing exchanges and everything with her. And then.
And really, Heather, all I want is us. Like, I just don't want to be married to him anymore.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to separate our lives as easy and seamless and painless as possible and go on. But he has turned this. Like, flipped it upside down, around the corner, to the left, to the right. I'm a druggie, but you're not coming after 100% of your kids. And you're not, like, who claims that stuff and then just goes on about their merry way? When, if I sit here and he's in front of me and I say, why are you saying this? He hides in a shell. He drives off.
Well, I hope that in having these... two juicy with you, one juicy with him, that it, you know, that in the end you guys continue to co-parent and
absolutely
and be successful. Yep. You're both successful, creative, charismatic people. You both deserve a lot of success in the future. And Shane, good luck.
Thank you. I'm gonna need it. Oh my God. That was perfect. Fucking good. And good luck with that. Oh my God. All right. Till next time.
Yes. I mean, well, thank you so much, Shane. Thank you for being so honest. You guys, I'm excited. Back on the road. These shows are selling out. I will be in Seattle next, September 10th and 11th. It is one show Friday, two shows Saturday. There is VIP. There's preferred seating, but there's also some tickets left. So go get your tickets now at heathermcdonald.net. All the dates are there. All the tickets are there. And I will see you soon.